Amen. Romans chapter 6. Thank you for standing for the word of God. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Woo! Y'all ready for an altar call? That's good all by itself. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth, ETH, he continues to live, he liveth unto God. Would you stretch your hands out and pray for me tonight, Father? I'm asking you to give me clarity of thought and speech, that you would touch this beautiful congregation tonight, that you would lay your hands upon each of us, that you would give us unction in the pulpit and action in the pews, and that it be not just another service where we just come and go and nothing has changed. But Father, I pray that every human under the sound of my voice would leave here different than they came, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Thank you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, if you remember, I can't believe I actually got through 5 verses, which was really miraculous. But we talked about knowing him 3 times in verses 3, 6, and 9. He uses the word know or knowing. There are some things that he wants us to know. There's no doubt about it. And we discussed, I feel like some things that were powerful truths, and we were discussing new life. And the thing that I wanted to drive home at the end of whatever night it was, where are we? On this Friday, Tuesday night, was that new life comes to those that have been born again. A lot of folks want to try to claim new life. They want to claim the benefits of Christianity. They want to claim everything it goes with being a Christian. But they have to actually be a Christian. Just because you go to church does not make you a Christian. Just because you tithe and put in the offering plate doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you like me and you may like my preaching or you may like someone else's preaching, that doesn't make you a Christian. You can do all of those things. You can go to Sunday school. You can attend every service and you can shout amen at the right places. And I hope that you do all of that. But you can do all of that and still be lost. In order to have the life of Christ, you must have the new life of Christ. Amen. You got to be born again. And when you're born again, things will change in your life. You're not the same person. You don't continue. I think Brother Britt has already quoted tonight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. I think it is, where he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I like that because he uses the word all. He doesn't leave anything undone. He'll say, I'm still working on that. Well, you need to let God convert that, because if you've still got a sinful nature about you, a sinful proclivity, and you're still living in sin, then you need to make another trip to the altar. You need to find the cross of Christ again and allow him to crucify the flesh, because you're not converted yet. It brings us to chapter 6, verse 6 rather, and he's going to talk to us in verse 6, and he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. This term here, old man, has kind of been on my heart, and it's a reference to the flesh. And it says that it not necessarily just be dealt with. We want to cater it. We want to kind of pamper it. We want to kind of convert the flesh. But the Bible doesn't tell us that the flesh is to be converted. The Bible tells us that the flesh is to be killed. It is to be crucified. A lot of folks want a new edition of the old man. They want God to renovate it. They want God to rehabilitate it. But God is not in the rehabilitating process. He wants to kill it. And he wants to make it a new creature. Somebody help me preach. Y'all awful quiet tonight. We're always wanting to rehabilitate what we were, but what we were is killing us. In this scripture here, the old man, this word, this phrase, it means old in point of use or worn out, useless, fit for the scrap pile. I couldn't believe that was actually part of the definition. Fit for the trash. That's what the old man is. It's useless. It's no good. Anybody here old and feel useless tonight? Maybe you understand what I'm saying. Oh, it's no good for nothing. It is that source of much shame, much embarrassment, the old man. If I could do away with all the things the old man has done, I'd be sitting high and tight tonight. things would be just right. But I must confess, the old man has been... Is that Brother Harold Eads? Pastor Eads, would you stand up? That's my friend right there. Brother, how'd you sneak in on me? Pastor Eads from Holy Sanctuary. Love you, brother. Thank you for coming tonight. I want the old man slain. I want the old man killed. I don't want him locked up. I don't want him just chained down, Brother Fred. I don't want him in the closet where he can break loose. I want him crucified on a cross tonight. And we can't have that. No rehabilitation for Lamb. I want Lamb slain. I want sin gone. I want the new man to be alive. Because we read last week that the old man, he's a sinful man. He continues in sin. He belongs to the devil, the Bible says. And I don't want to belong to him tonight. Our flesh is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin... I got some stuff I want to talk to you tonight. You're going to need to pay attention. If you came to sleep tonight, it's going to be a hard one for you. But if you came to hear the Word of God and to learn, I believe you're going to tonight. He came to destroy the power of sin that's in our lives. Some folks can't quit sinning. They take like a little vacation and they go like a week and they abstain from everything and they just, I'm not going to do that. And it's just this terrible fight. Every time they turn around, they just have to fight. And it's a terrible struggle not to sin. How many knows tonight that when you're born again that you shouldn't have to struggle every single day of your life not to sin? See, I don't know if I can make it another day. Then you need to be born again. You need to be changed. You need to be converted. You need the old flesh man underneath. I didn't tell you that the world wasn't going to pull. I didn't tell you that there wasn't going to be a temptation. I didn't tell you that your flesh isn't at times going to want to overpower you. But when that's the state of your entire life, when every day of your life is just another day of survival, you need to find what's wrong with you. Because God doesn't want us to live in a state of survival. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to be anointed. He wants us to be powerful. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be able to stand and say this, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He wants us to be able to stand in the face of sin and say, I am more than a conqueror through Christ that strengthens me. We should not live a life where we're continuously fighting for victory. I know it's redundant. I know I say it over and over, but I'm going to keep saying it until you understand that it is not God's will for us to fight for victory. It's God's will for us to fight from victory. Somebody shout from. It is God's will for us to fight with victory. It's the reason you don't win. You're trying to fight the devil with your right hand and trying to get victory with your left hand when you should turn your back on the world and embrace God and let him kill the old man and then turn with the power of the Holy Ghost. And when sin comes, it is no problem whatsoever to overcome sin. We have to have the power of sin crucified in our lives. You know, James said this. He said, every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. He's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And so we have a word picture. If you would with me, a man with a fishing pole and he's got a lure on the end of it and he's fishing and there is that big mouth bass and he sees that worm flipping through the water and there's just something on the inside of him that says, man, that looks good. It does. But he changes his mind quickly after Russell Lamb snags him up in the jaw and the gravitational pull of that powerful man on the banks flips him and now he's going a direction that he doesn't want to go no matter how hard he fights. I can't stop the enemy from dangling the lure in front of me. But in Christ, just like salvation, just like being saved, there is an unction, there is an anointing. There is a victory over sin that will help you and empower you to give you strength to say no. It looks good. It looks good. It would probably taste good. But I know according to the Word of God that if I latch hold of that, it's going to do damage to my spirit that I cannot recuperate from. And so most of you are looking around saying, God, give me victory. When you need to be looking up and looking in and saying, God, empower me, because I might be in this world, but I am not of this world. And if you feel something on the inside pulling for that which is on the outside, the problem isn't the world. The problem is your heart. And you need to come back to God
and say, kill me and slay the old man. That's what Paul is trying to convey to us tonight. The word destroyed, that the old man be destroyed. You know, it's a powerful word that he's using there, that the body of sin might be destroyed. This word destroyed means idle, inactive, inoperative, paralyzed, ineffective, by removing the power of control. And what you do is you kick sin out of the car. You don't put him in the driver, in the passenger seat, because he'll reach over and grab the wheel. You don't put him in the back seat because sin will reach over your shoulder. He says that there is a place in Christ that the power of sin can be destroyed. It can be kicked out, not only away from the steering wheel, but you can kick him out of the car. And don't you grab the wheel either. I know that's the picture that you just got. I'm going to kick sin out so I can grab the wheel. That's worse than it was before. What I would advise you to do tonight is stop the car, get out, open the trunk, get in the trunk, hand the keys to God, as Parrish Reed had said, and close the lid down and say, God, you take this vessel in anywhere you want to go, because I no longer can allow sin to overpower my life. Amen. Are you out there tonight? I don't know. I'm trying to tell you that there is a life in Christ that you don't have to fall every 3 days. There's a life in Christ where you don't have to check into a rehab every 2 months. There is a place in Christ where you don't have to repent every single church night. That instead of repenting every service, you're laying hands on other people and you're bringing people into the house of God, where you're not just barely making it night after night, day after day. There's a place in Christ that you're sitting in heavenly places. There is a place where sin has no power. Lust has no power. Anger has no power. Bitterness has no power. This world, Hollywood's got no power. The lust of this world's music and the fads and fashion. Help me preach a minute. Some of you got to understand that there is victory, real victory in Jesus. My God, I feel like preaching tonight. When we're saved, the body of sin, our flesh, is rendered or put out of business. We put a new management outside the door. The old man's gone. The old man's dead. I took off the old coat and I put on a new. I'm not who I used to be. God has converted me. I'm new. I might look the same on the outside, but my inside has been changed. You might as well not come at me with that junk, because I don't have time for you. I don't have time for that. No, I'm not going there, because I know if I go there, the old man might try to rise up. And so I'm going to abstain from the very appearance of evil. I'm going to flee youthful lust. I will not allow the enemy to strip me of the grace and mercies of God that have restored me and healed me. I will serve God tonight. My God, my God, my God. The body of sin has got to be destroyed. We are the ones that choose to put it back into business. It wasn't the devil. The devil never wanted you saved in the first place. It wasn't his doing for you getting saved. It's not going to be his doing for you going back. It's going to be your own doing. It's because you wanted sin more than you wanted God. Yeah, I said you wanted sin more than you wanted God. You picked that needle up and you knew as soon as you did it, you knew that you was getting ready to afflict yourself in a way that was going to be hard to recuperate. And then you put the needle in your arm and you shoot that junk up in your vein. And then you spend 3 weeks trying to recuperate and try. Why not just get a hold of God tonight? I mean, every time she comes around, you told yourself last night, I ain't messing with her. But then you did it again. And now you've been stripped. And now you're empty. And now you're dying on the inside. Why not just have some intestinal fortitude? Why not just let the Holy Ghost rise and say, you know what? My flesh may walk bad, but I serve God. If he can die for me, I will live for him. I will not watch anything. I will not listen to anything. I will not read anything that will violate my walk with God. I am becoming jealous of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I am becoming jealous of the favor of God. I can no longer live in sin. Oh God,
would you deal a death blow? Oh God, would you kill me out? I'm tired of the roller coaster. I'm tired of up and down. I'm tired of in and out. Oh God, give me victory tonight.
I want victory. I want victory. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Freed. I'm free. I'm free. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live. What a paradox. It's not a contradiction. It's a paradox. This steak right here is verse 8. It's so thick. I'm having a hard time cutting it. And I'm going to get her cut. I'm going to break it down. I might even chew it up for you before it's over. If we be dead with Christ, we believe also we shall live with him. What are you talking about? I'm dead with you, hallelujah. Now I'm alive with you. Dead and alive. Dead and alive. See, that's the thing. Some of you think to be dead in Christ is to be miserable. Talk to me. Some of you count the cost and you say, well, I got to give up this. And boy, I like him. And I don't know if I can stop that. And I just don't know if I can live it because I like this. And you say, I want to be alive in Christ, but I don't want to be dead in Christ. And you say, and you're trying to figure out how and what is what. But let me tell you this. To be dead in Christ is to render yourself at his command. You are his vessel. You belong to him now. It's almost as if you're gone and he steps in and he takes over you. And you say, that sounds so morbid. No. Because in St. John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not before to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, that's the thing that you've been searching for but can't find it. You want the life of Christ, but you don't want to die to the world, or you'll die to the world, but you've been taught so legalistically that you didn't know that you could smile and you can dance and you can skip in the name of Jesus. But I declare tonight empirically that if you're dead in Christ, you can live in Christ, and there is no life like the Christ life. If you want real joy, come to Jesus. If you want real rest, come to Jesus. But you can't have this if you got that. You gotta have it. No. You can't live like an old man and have what God was given to the new man. You need to bring yourself to the altar tonight and say, kill me, kill me. I am dead to sin, and now I am alive in Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, yes. And he says in verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. He's perpetually alive, and he lives inside of me. When a man is executed for a crime, he is freed from the crime when he is dead. Now, my children, sometimes they don't quite understand. And I used to do this, and it was a terrible folly. They would do something, they would lie, and then I would spank them, and then I would put them in timeout. And then I started thinking about that, because really I put them in timeout because I was angry at them. I had already disciplined them for the action that they did. And then I learned that now I need to embrace them and hug them and pray. I will do that anyway. But it seemed like such a contradiction. But the thing about it is, when they lied, I bent them over the bed, and I very reservedly and controlled with temperance, I spanked my child. When it was done, the penalty was already finished, and they turned around, and now it's time to play again. And some of you haven't got that. You've sinned and you did things that were so terrible, but when it's under the blood, it's gone, y'all. And just because your ex-husband won't forgive you, and because your family won't forgive you, God doesn't live like that. He doesn't do that. When it's gone, it's gone. I said, when it's gone, it's gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions. Help me preach a little while. Oh yeah, when the old man's dead He's free from a crime that he's dead. The case is closed. We died with Christ on the cross. Our penalty has been paid. Sin's power has been broken. We're freed from sin. In other words, we don't have to serve sin anymore. He is no longer my master. I don't have to be afraid of the internet because I'm afraid of what I'll do. Now, if you're going to be one of those that are tempted every time you go to it, my advice for you is throw the computer out in the yard. I would rather have no internet than have it a sinner net. But you know, that's not really the answer. The answer really isn't get rid of the internet. The answer isn't get rid of Facebook. The answer isn't really to get rid of your radio. The answer is get rid of the sin that's in your heart. The answer is get your heart right with God. That way you can use those tools as a means of holiness and righteousness and wholesome entertainment. Oh, God help us. You don't have to live a life of bondage anymore. My God, help us. Whoa! I want to be freed from sin, not free to sin. I said I want to be free from sin, not free to sin. Y'all feel this like I'm feeling this? I don't know if that's even possible, but man, say it with me. We are free from sin, not free to sin. Sin is a slave master. It never does good. For the moment, it's pleasure. For the moment, it's pleasure. But you know what? Most of you know so much about God now that even that knowledge of Christ has stripped away some of the pleasure. I mean, it may satisfy the flesh for a minute, but down inside, you're dying. And you begin to suffocate in that blackness, that darkness, that vile, wretched wickedness, evil. It creeps into the heart. And you said, oh, God, what have I done again? Why don't you just stop? Why don't you just let God raise up real, true holiness in your heart where not only do you fear sin, but you hate sin. You don't have to shun it every time. Just walk right by it and say, I ain't got time for you. But until then, I say shun it. But you can have a walk with God that gives you power over sin. Amen. I got people in my past, and I said, let's go preach on the streets. They said to me, I can't. I said, why? They said, because when I was out in sin, I was addicted to pornography. And I'm afraid that if I go to the streets with you, that those women dressed so scantily, they'll draw my heart. And so I lay both hands, which happened to me a few times, I lay both hands on sides of their faces. And I said, brother, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to go home. But what you need to do when you get home is you need to find a closet. You need to find a closet. And if you can't go to the streets with me without lusting and committing adultery, you need to stay home. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. But when you get home, you need to find an altar. Because if you can't walk on the streets with me and preach the gospel, you're probably going to go to hell anyway. And that right there might have been too tight for you. It might have been too rough. But when Pastor Lamb can't knock on a door because I'm afraid some lady is going to come to the door dressed scantily and I'm just going to be mauled in. Number one, I need to check my love for God. Number two, I need to check my love for my wife. Number three, I need to check my love for my children. Number four, I need to check my love for the church. Number five, I need to check my love for this world around me. Because if I'm so willing to throw away everything for a moment of pleasure, my heart's not right anyway. And so lead me to the cross. Lead me to the cross. Let this be a dead man walking. Let them fall in front of us, but let us keep walking. If the flesh pulls, you keep walking and walk straight to an altar and say, God, I felt a little bit of pull. Would you nail it down again? Would you slay it again? Would you kill me out again? Well, it is what it is. You know, you can't commit these sins and it not affect your spirit. Isolated act of sin, I'm with you. You commit an isolated act of sin, don't care what it is. In a heat of passion, you get trapped, you get ensnared. An isolated act of sin, and you will feel it. You will feel a distance. You will feel the breakdown between you and God. Communion will be disrupted immediately, and you will have to go back to an altar, and you will have to repent and ask God for mercy, and you will have to have that cover your life again. And don't be surprised if it's not a while before you feel absolute connection again. But if you love God like you need to, you should be able to come back to Him and say, God, I'm
I'm so stupid, I did it again. If you never bless me again, I promise you I'm serving you anyway. And then you get down to business and you serve God. But if you'll do that, I say fine. But when you're continuing in sin and every other day you're sinning, quit saying you're saved. Because God's people, all the children of God, overcome this world. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. A lamp gives off light when connected to the electrical outlet. All right, I understand that the source of power comes from an electric company somewhere. But just entertain the thought for a moment. The source of power is that plug right there. I got my guitar amp, I got my foot pedal, and my guitar itself is plugged in there. And it gets its source of power from that right there. If I reach down and unplug that, it doesn't matter what I do to the volume. It doesn't matter what buttons I twist. Nothing is going to happen. And as long as you stay plugged into this world, God is not going to be able to help you. But listen to me, I'm telling you, Paul is telling the church that there is a potential possibility, if you will yield yourself to God, that you can unplug yourself from the affections of this world. And those things that one time destroyed you will no longer destroy. God, help us, unplug yourself from this world. If you cut the power, the light goes out. If you cut the connection or the desire of your flesh, you can have victory over temptation. You can have victory over sin. Our main problem is we keep plugging ourselves back in to the sinful desires. If you got a problem, if you got a proclivity with lust, you need to stay away from magazines. You need to stay away from certain websites. You need to stay away from certain music that draws you. You need to use some wisdom. Don't plug yourself back in. Every time you turn around feeding it, unconnect yourself and let the life of God flow through you tonight. Man, I need to hurry. The story is told of two men. What time did I get started? Anybody know? The story is told of two men from Ireland that discovered an unusual turtle. It's walking around, but the head of the turtle had been completely chopped off. Yeah. Still walking around. So these two Irishmen get in a fight. One of them says, it's dead. It's got to be. It's got no head. And the other one said, it's not dead. It's walking around. It has to be alive. A third Irishman hears these two fighting, and he walks up and they said, we'll let you mediate this. Is that turtle dead or alive? The third Irishman said, he's dead. He just doesn't know it yet. Talk to me for a minute here. And we got the same problem today. Many believers in the house of God, you don't understand what sanctification really is. We got people in the house that are dead to sin, but they don't really believe it. They believe that they got to fall because everybody around them falls. And because you've fallen over and over and over, there's still a lingering doubt in the back of your mind that says, yes, I went to the altar last night, but I don't really have victory over it because the last time I came to the altar, I did it again. But did you know the Word of God teaches that we are sanctified by faith? There is a potential, there is a place in God that you can start walking. And when the enemy says, won't you do this? You can just start talking back and say, no, I'm dead to sin. And even if your flesh don't believe it for a minute, you got to keep on saying it, because by faith I'm sanctified. Why do you feel that pull, Lamb? You can't be. Say, shut up. I'm sanctified. I'm covered in the blood. Ain't no way I'm doing that. No way I'm violating my walk with God. I've been sanctified by faith in Christ. They that are dead to sin don't really believe it sometimes. They don't believe that they're no longer under the compulsion of sin. If a Christian sins, he does it because he chooses to. Do you understand that now? You've been sitting underneath this ministry long enough that you should know that if you sin, you got to stop blaming people. Yeah, but just shut up about that. I don't care what he did. But you don't understand what they said. I don't care what they said to you. You didn't have to punch him in the face. So I cussed him out, boy. I got low down. Why? Why?
If my Uncle Junior had a microphone tonight, he would have told you that you don't have to bite your tongue when you're really saved, because there's nothing in your heart to come out. Oh, that was too tight, wasn't it? Oh, yes, so Uncle Junior preached all over the country. He said, if you got in your heart like it's supposed to be, you won't have to bite your tongue, because they can cuss you out and talk to you and talk about your mama too, and you ain't going to fall out because you got Jesus in your heart, and you're not going to say things that are not inside your heart. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. I do feel some of it shooting back at me. That's all right. I'm just going to throw it right back out there, because I know the Word of God is teaching us tonight that we can have perfect victory over top of this world. I want to move on. Verse 11. I'm going to quit here in a few minutes. I will not go past 9 o'clock, I don't think. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon. Reckon ye also yourselves. Reckon. Reckon. What does that mean? It's used 40 times. It's 40 verses in the New Testament, 19 times in the book of Romans. And this is what it means: to count, to reckon, to impute, to take into account, to estimate, to accept and believe. We are to accept and believe that God's word is true. And we are to act upon the facts of God's word. Oh, Jesus, how can I say that without being sarcastic? It flows naturally. My wife says it's my second language. A butter knife one time said, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer at all. He said, if it feels good, how can it be wrong? Now you just chew on that for a little while. If it feels good, you gotta know better than that. Does Revival Tabernacle believe that? You got to act upon the word of God even when it doesn't feel good. Would it be a relief at times to take that big fist right there and plow it right through somebody's mouth? Sure. Sure. You're frustrated, you're mad, you want to hit somebody. Now, what kind of Christian does that though? I mean, it feels good, Pastor. No. No, not really. All that means is you don't have the temperance. You're not strong enough. You're not anointed enough. Come on, talk to me. You ain't praying enough. You're not praying like you need. I'll tell you what, I got a problem with road rage. You need to find an altar. You need to throw the keys away. You say, I just honk my horn and then give them sign language, shake my... You need to get right with God. Come on, talk to me for a moment here. I can talk to y'all about theology if you want me to, and eschatology and blah, blah, blah. Or how about we just talk about where we're at tonight? How about we just talk about where we're at tonight? Pull up to a red light and somebody honks their horn. You're going to lose yourself. Are you serious? Honk. And that there it is. And you won't cast out devils. So give me that anointing. No, I'm going to lay hands. You ain't laying hands on nobody. You just need to sit down. I'm going to cast a devil. You ain't cast. You need to cast the devil out of your mind. I'll tell you what. You say anything to me, you say something to my wife, I'll kill you. Okay. Listen to me. You touch my children, I'm going to get you off my children. You touch my kids, you're going to get off of my kids. I ain't going to stick around and kick your face in. I want you off my kids. You're not going to hurt my wife. But if I'm losing my temper every time somebody talks about Pastor Rusty and I want to fight, I got problems. I got problems. And I'm telling you that we can have victory. Ooh. Basking in it tonight. Just basking in it tonight. I feel it. It's not fiery darts. I think it's just, oh God, did he really just say that? Right out of the book? Yes. Honk. Some of y'all are the ones honking the horns behind them. Where's that waitress at? Get over here. You know what? You got a problem. That woman's been working 10 hours today. Her husband just walked out on her and left her with another woman. She's got 3 kids that now she's got to figure out how to pay for daycare for on $8.25 an hour. She's waited on a bunch of church folk who are the rudest, the smallest tippers in the world. So I tell you what, I wanted this steak. Listen, if I ask for a medium rare steak and they give me a burnt one, and she says, how is it? I say, you know, I wouldn't mind if I had a medium rare. If they want to exchange that, that's great. I'm not losing my sanctification. I'm not losing my witness over a steak. I'm not acting like a fool. If they don't bring me any pop and don't give me a refill, I'm probably not going to tip her $55. But I'll tell you this, you're not going to see me not tip her. I'm going to tip her anyway. I'm going to say, God loves you. I love you. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of damage is done to Christianity on Sundays after church. Oh, Jesus, if I was a waitress, I'd try to take off Sundays, even if I wasn't saved, just so I wouldn't have to deal with saved people. 57 people. They'll take a whole room, 58 people, and they leave a dollar tip. Say, you sure that's enough? A dollar. $500 worth of food, 67 refills, and complaining, why ain't she got my refill yet? I asked her for Diet Pepsi, she gave me Diet Coke. How much? How ain't enough ice in here? I tell you what, you know something, that girl right there may have came to your church next Sunday, and if she does come to your church, she's going to see you, and she's going to see you dancing and singing, and she's going to say, that girl comes to this church, and they let her shout and dance, and they're going to walk out of this place, and they're going to say, if they're Christians, I am too. And they're going to go home and they're done. How about let's have a Christianity that's real, not only in the church, but at the house. A Christianity that's real at Denny's, at Steak and Shake, on the ball court, on the playground. My God, help us have a real walk with God. I'm not even going to go out to eat if I can't afford a tip. I don't know why I'm on that. Some of y'all, one of y'all might be going to get ready to win a waitress to the Lord. And you're going to remember this message is going to convict your heart. And God is going to give you grace. And you're going to treat somebody really kind. I believe that with all of my heart. Some of you just go in and you forget that you're a witness. You forget that you're supposed to be a martyr for Christ. You're supposed to be an evangelist. Every person that comes into your life, you ought to have your target set on her. And say, I don't know who she is. You ought to be discerning enough that when she comes to you and her husband's walked out on her and she's got three children trying to figure out how to pay all this, the child, a babysitter. You ought to have enough discernment in your spirit to feel her brokenness, to feel her pain, and say, sweetheart, I don't know what you're going through, but I am going to pray for you. I love you. I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to get my card here. I want you to come to church because I believe we got something that God is going to do for you. And you know what will happen? This world will stand up and say, I don't know who they was, but I think I met Jesus today. I think I met the Son of God. I believe I saw him and her today. We need to learn. I don't even know how I got off on all that. We need a real lifting sanctification, a real life. I'm telling you that you can live free from sin. Man, it's pumped and pushed all over this country now. The airwaves are just filled with it. Sin a little more, a little less every day. It's hogwash. I wouldn't even be a Christian if I thought I had to sin a little more or a little less every day, because I wanted to come to Christ because sin was destroying me. I came to him because they told me that if I would confess him and believe on him, that he would take my sins away. I wanted free from the darkness of those sins. I wanted free from the pain of those sins. And I'm glad that the Bible tells us in Matthew 1:21 that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. The word of God said, repent, not repeat. And God will give you the power to live. Come on, talk to me for a moment here. There is nothing more beautiful than holiness on the face of a man or a woman of God, a disposition that's Christ-like, that's godly, that is pure, and a conscience that's right with God. You need to get this tonight. We are reckon. We reckon ourselves dead to sin. I count myself. He's talking about faith here, Pastor.
He's saying that when I wake up in the morning, I need to start thinking. I need to compute this. I need to count certain things in my life because I know I'm getting ready to go to work. I know I'm getting ready to face hell. I know that the enemy is getting ready to come upon me like a flood, and I need to tell myself a few things. Number one, I'm still here. I could be dead in hell, but I'm not. And the fact that I'm still here means God's not giving up on me yet. Number two, I'm saved. And that means that God so loved me that he died for me. He shed his blood for me. Number three, I'm dead to sin. I don't have to fall anymore. He comes by, I'm slamming the door in his face because I don't have time for him. I don't have time for her. All I've got time for is to live for God. Live for God. And you've got to start reckoning these things every day. I got a verse I wanted to share with you. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We are saved by grace through faith. I could talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. Even the baptism of the Spirit is received by faith. Every aspect of our Christian walk is through faith. I believe. I believe, I believe, I believe. And some of you don't really believe that you're sanctified. And man, I wish I had time. Okay, this has created a lot of confusion because many think that when they get saved, that their flesh is going to disappear. It's not true. I am a human. I am a male. I have a male anatomy. I was born. I was made. I was created to procreate. There are certain cause and effects in my body that I can't change, that they are just going to simply be. So I got married, Brother Stevie, so I could exercise that lawful tendency in a lawful way. Somebody talk to me for a moment here. There are things that I need food. I like food. I was telling somebody one time that said, man, I would lose weight a lot faster if it wasn't for sweets. And he told me, he said, well, you must be doing something wrong because you shouldn't crave sweets. I said, let me explain something to you. I don't just crave them. I love them. I could eat all the proteins in the world. Give me that Hershey's. I love it. I love it. And that's the way we are. We think because I'm a man and I see a beautiful woman. Ooh, is this too deep for y'all? I see a woman. And my mind processes that lady. God made me to respond to that woman. So I was made that way. But I'm a Christian. So I immediately turn. And I keep moving. I dismiss it because I can't allow it to go from my head to my heart. Because if it goes from my head to my heart, it will end up in my hands. I can't stop myself from being attracted to a woman. But one man said, I can't stop the birds from flying over my head, but I can sure keep them from building a nest in my hair. And that's what some of you are doing. You see things and things the devil lays out there in front of you, and you just let them linger and linger and linger. You know what Pastor Lamb does? Sometimes it's as simple as this right here. I'll throw a cross up in my mind, or I'll start quoting a verse of scripture. I'll start singing a song. Lead me to the cross. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Because I can't let that linger. Is there anybody in the house that can shout amen tonight? Sister Ashley, would you come? I want you to get a song ready tonight. Give Sister Beth a break. Two things that we need to do. We need to get this in our heads tonight. Now, if all you think about sex, you need to get saved. I ain't saying that. Who do y'all want me to preach to? I mean, y'all want me to preach to real people? I don't have time to fake around and act like I'm preaching to a bunch of theologians that's never saved and all immaculate conceived and never sinned, never thought anything. We're living in a real world with real people. And you need to know that if your heart's filled with lust, that you need to come to the cross of Christ tonight and let God forgive you. Let him not only forgive you, but let him deal a death blow to that sin. That's in your heart. Two things. We need to stop feeding the flesh. It would do a lot of us good to go home and search our houses. What are you listening to? What kind of music do you listen to? What does it promote? What does it provoke inside of you?
What are you reading? What are you reading? You say, I've heard preachers preach against like Harlequin romances, and which I mean, I'm against it too. But they preach against it like this and say, if you read Harlequin romances, you'll cheat on your wife or your husband. And I say, you know, that's so shallow. Because most of the people that I know that are in the church that read a Harlequin romance, they're not going to cheat on their spouse, but I'll tell you what they'll do. They create an unrealistic picture of what a man is. And though they may never leave their husband, it creates this false illusion. And that darkness creeps in their heart. It's just anything. It doesn't matter what it is. For some folk, it might be a billboard. You're coming down on mile marker 26 and you know there's a billboard there. Just don't look. Give no place to the devil. Guys, I am tired. And I mean that in the most reverent sense. I'm weary of pastoring people that have no victory. We should be the prayingest, the most joyful people that ever lived. But more times than not, more depression is in the house than there is joy and peace and grace. Tossing and turning at night, can't sleep. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You should sleep like a baby. You say, Pastor, but I heard you say, you sure did. You heard me talk about losing sleep. Now, sometimes I just lose sleep because I'm praying, seeking God. Because I ain't got enough time in the day. There's been times that through worry and doubt, it all needs to be crucified. And some of you, you live with doubt. Fear, fear is a sin. And some folk, I'm going to preach my whole life to them. And they're just going to keep on coming to church and keep on doing what they do. And they're never going to listen to me. And they're going to live with fear. They're going to live with timidity. And then they're going to find out the word of God really meant what it said when it said the fearful and unbelieving would be to put into a lake of fire. You don't have to have fear. You don't have to be controlled by fear. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why can't we use that as our measuring stick? Stand with me across the house. I told you I'd quit. I'm going to quit. My message tonight, and I'm going to finish this out. I'm going to try not to be too redundant because this chapter is going to sound the same, but I really feel like we need it. I felt like God dealt with my heart on the Atlantic Ocean. He told me it's sin in our church. Probably some gross sin. But I think there's a lot of sins in the house that we're not really considering and we're not really dealing with. And that was the second thing that I wanted to drive home tonight. Number one, do not feed the flesh. Guard your eyes, guard your heart, guard your ears. You know, there was five gates into the temple. We have five senses. Guard them, everyone. Folks will preach what I call holiness, but they'll do it with a heavy hand and legalistically as a Pharisee would. And they just tell people not to do stuff. Don't kill, don't steal, don't go here, and don't do that. And they only do it because they want to create this persona that I am a righteous preacher. I want to preach like, and I count what I'm preaching tonight and Tuesday night as holiness preaching. Straight out of the Word of God, and it deals with every sin in this house. You don't know why I preach this? I don't care what anybody outside this church thinks about what we're doing. I want them to like us. I want the respect of the people. But you understand what I'm saying? The skeptics, the hypocrites, I couldn't care less. I want you to be free. I have experienced freedom in Christ. I've experienced liberty in Christ. And I want you to be free from the chains of sin. I want you to be able to have wholesome relationships without them falling apart because of sin. I want you to be able to marry a man of God. And you know what? Men of God only look for women of God. If you're living like a devil and he's attracted to you, you already need to know that he's not what he needs to be. Men of God have their antennas up. And they're seeking the face of God. They're seeking him and his righteousness. And if they see you, it's going to be because you got caught in the crosshairs of you, him, and God. Because he's so busy seeking God and you're up there hidden in him somewhere. He discovered you and God said, that's yours right there. That's the kind of woman I was looking for when I met my wife. I wasn't looking for the prettiest. Thank God I got one. I mean, she still melts my heart, buckles my knees. But when I was looking for a wife, I was looking for a woman that loved God more than she loved me.
I was looking for a woman that would hold on to God and teach my children, even if I fell out and I backslid, and I found her. And I've never regretted in 16 years, almost 17 years. I said, thank God, not because I married a beautiful woman, not because she's smart, not because she's articulate, but because she is a woman of God. Amen.
She's a woman of God. I look at my daughters and now, my girls, brother, I'm telling you. I said, I got to go grocery shopping. I went down to the YMCA to try to, God's helping me, man. Because it helps me get rid of stress. And been lifting and running and trying to get my body in better shape. I come back and my daughter Ariel's got a grocery list for me. My daughter Eden says, can I go with you, Dad? And I said, yeah. And she grabs the list and she does the grocery shopping. And I said, my God, my wife is duplicating Little Women. I want my little men to be men of God. But I've got to be crucified. God help us. I want you free. I want Revival Tabernacle free. I want you liberated. I'm tired of you having to in and out and beat down and all the time trying to struggle and claw your way out. I want you to get on top of this thing and stay there. I want you to hold on to Jesus like never before. And I'm telling you tonight, there's a place in Christ that you can come, that you can pray, God, crucify me. I'm going to preach Sunday on, God has given me a message, I believe, on the other side of pain. I'm going to deal with Christ and the cross, his relationship to us, and what that crucifixion resulted in, the power of Pentecost. I want a Pentecostal church. Not just a church running around talking in tongues and flipping and busting their heads on the pew. I'm talking about a real Pentecostal church that lays hands on the sick and the sick recover. I want a real Pentecostal church that when they speak in tongues, it's the Holy Ghost speaking through them and not some jibber jabber that they were doing to make somebody impressed. So talk to me for a moment here. I want the kind of church that's really Pentecostal, that when they speak in tongues, it's from God. When they interpret it, it's from God. When they lay hands on the demoniacs cry Jesus and come out. That's the kind of church that we need here. That's the kind of church that I want here. But it will never happen until this church is hanging on a cross with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I'm looking at a beautiful group of people that love you and are hungry, but I believe that we need to love you more. We need to be hungrier for you. We need to lay every sin upon the cross and let you nail it down. I pray for those that are miserable in this house. They are struggling with the death of flesh. The old man is wreaking havoc upon them. They stand here right now and there's no real victory in their life. They experience a victory is a place that they visit. Peace is a place that they visit for a moment, but they're like the tabernacle of old. They pitch their tent, but then they pick it up and they go back to chaos. They come to church for just a moment, for a minute, and they pitch their tent down at the church, and for a few weeks, they stay at the church, and then they pull their stuff up, and they disappear again, and they do that because they don't know, they don't have any roots, and I'm praying tonight, God, that somebody will find roots, and that they'll be honest enough to lay that old man upon the cross and say, here I am, Jesus. I've done it again. I've allowed myself to fall and slip. I can detect that I've got some things in my heart that's against your will. And God, I'm asking you to crucify right now. I want to be dead in Christ. I want to be dead to the world. But God, don't stop with just killing me. Bring me to life. I want the world to see that you're alive in me. But I now see that I can't have your life flowing through me when my vessel is sinful and my conduit is filthy and dirty and my mind is corrupt. Purify my mind, God. Give me victory over this bitterness. Give me victory over this anger. Give me victory over this evil, this hatred that's creeped into my heart that has ruled my heart for years. I don't want to just suppress him anymore. I want to unthrone him. I want to dethrone him where he no longer has power over me. And I'm going to come to the altar, God. And if I don't feel complete and total victory tonight, I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to start praying every day. And I'm going to start fasting. I'm going to start reading your word and laying up on prayer. And I'm going to stay there until you kill this man. And then I'm going to stand over top of that grave with a shovel. And if I even see the dirt moving, it looks like the old man's coming back alive, I'm going to take a shovel to it, God, because I want victory. I want real victory. And this time, God, I'm serving you the rest of my life. I'm not forfeiting your grace for a man. I'm not forfeiting your grace for a thing. I'm committing everything tonight. Father, I pray that we can be crucified together. I want to be crucified with you because I want to live in you. And Father, I'm asking you tonight, if there's a lost man or woman in this house, someone that feels separated from you, that you would convict their hearts right now. Save them. We so desperately need revival here. We desperately need a move of the Spirit.